In discussing this morning's sermon with several of my colleagues throughout the week, they all, almost to a person, said, well, I'm going to have to wait to see how things turn out, to know how I will preach. Well, Saturday morning brightened in different ways for different people. After weeks of political ads, debates, hand-wringing, protests, and sometimes some violence, most news stations announced on Saturday that the U.S. presidential election appeared, at least, to be over, barring a barrage of legal battles. On Saturday morning, some were elated, delighted, relieved. Others crushed, disappointed, and afraid. Even when the lawsuits are over and the outcome of the election is certified and a president is sworn in, we will still be left with a nation that is divided by race, political party, ideology, and gender. That will not have changed. The brokenness of our society, highlighted by the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, political unrest, suburban versus urban, will still be there. We held so closely to policies and political ideologies and personal preferences that it seems as though we cannot let go. Even if all of the evidence before us says that we should, for the sake of our neighbor, for our friends, for our family, or even for ourselves. It's been frightening to read over the past several weeks how often people have picked their political party or their candidate based on a single issue, whether it be environmental awareness or abortion. Whatever it is, we've been willing to put aside all the rest of our values in some cases so that we can get the one thing that we want to hold on to. It's a kind of ideological tunnel vision that has led to the divisions, the conflict, the difficulty so clear in our country today. Many years ago, and I apologize for showing my age, a theologian named Paul Tillich, I think, had it right. Paul Tillich said, look, our God is whatever is our ultimate concern. Whatever we want to concentrate on, whatever we will hold fast to no matter what, whether it be power or money, doesn't matter. That becomes our God. It might seem a little bit simplistic, but really from a practical daily life interpretation, I think there's some truth there. And I wonder, have power and political position, red and blue, Democratic and Republican, become our ultimate concern over everything else? Has self-interest, economic uncertainty, and personal freedom displaced our spiritual center? Has what I want for myself become my ultimate concern? it's played out in a most puzzling way in some parts of our country over the issue of wearing a mask. As if this thing that I wear on my face will tell you everything you need to know about who I am. We recently traveled to Texas. I used to live in Texas. We were there for 3 weeks, and to be perfectly honest, I was a little nervous. Because I'm a mask wearer. And I was surprised that every place I went in Texas, every store, every restaurant, in the airport, even in the hotel, everyone looked just like me. I was surprised. And I wonder yet, after this election, it's interesting, though political analysts have said, if you look back all the way to the time of Reagan, the voting numbers are almost exactly the same. We've had the same election over and over and over. The faces have changed. But that's all. I'm wondering, that whole question about what is at our center these days is something that we can begin to tease out with some real intentionality. I wonder sometime what gods of our own making are driving out the God who creates and redeems and sustains us. Have our personal interests, our own freedom, our economic security, our position and power driven Christ out of us? Or at least put God in second place? Joshua in the Old Testament lesson today is worried about the same thing. In a kind of masterful speech, Joshua calls the people together and he says, I want you to remember that long ago, your ancestors worshipped whoever they wanted. But God gathered Abraham and Sarai together and made a promise, a covenant with them. And that covenant was this, that I will be your God and you will be my people. Set aside all that takes away from that and rest in me. But Joshua's smart. Joshua reminds them that all along the way they have always been chasing after other gods. It's been hard. It's been really hard to be the people of God, to have their center in Yahweh. And so after reminding them of all the things that have happened before and all that God has done for them, Joshua says, look, you have a ton of choices. You know, it's a little bit like going to Luby's and going to the buffet. There's so much to choose. Luby's is closed, so I can say that now. But there was so much to choose from. But Joshua says, but as for me and my house, I will choose the Lord. I have set you before you this day life and death. But as for me and my house, I choose the Lord. Joshua reminds them of their beginning and then calls them and us to choose. What and who will be the center of our lives? As we look forward to our own discipleship in these days to come, who will be our center? What will be our center? If Christ is at our center, then from that center we can begin to become united and work together for hope and peace and a future of peace and justice for all, regardless of our political affiliation, regardless of whether or not on Saturday morning we woke up delighted or depressed. Because that's not our center. This Christ who calls and creates and redeems every single one of us, if that is our center, then we are free in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine to work for a world where God's joy intersects with our own. Care for the earth, care for one another, justice both in our courts and in our economic system. So often that's called the liberal agenda. It turns out it's just the people agenda. It turns out that God loves us humans. Dies for us humans. So that we can have the freedom to be the people God calls us to be. I don't think we will ever unite under any political party. We can't even unite in Christian denominations. I mean, Lutherans are a perfect example of a denomination that has had no luck whatsoever uniting. We will never unite under an ideology. We will never become one under a political party. We will never all agree to a certain way of being in life, and we don't have to. But with Christ at our center, we are free to enter into dialogue and compromise and covenant in a way that we could otherwise not do. If our ultimate concern is no longer our political party or our economic status or our gender power, we are free to give up and give and receive love as Christ has done for us on the cross. We are free to be free. That's a powerful word for the people of God in these days. We will no longer have to draw the line now in pen. We will no longer have to draw those lines with a chisel in stone and say, I will not move over this line. For God has drawn a circle around all of us. And God abides at the center with us that we might be free to be free. And so we ask God's blessing, God's hope, and God's power at this crossroads as we move forward into a future that regardless of what happens in the outcome of the election, that the people of God can be the people of God for the whole world. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day. Please rise as you're able.